You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dog Pound, come meet Joe Hayden, Andrew Hawkins, Hall of Famers Jim Brown, Paul Warfield, Head Coach Mike Pettine, and General Manager Ray Farmer. Over 40 Browns players and alumni total during the Cleveland Browns Fan Fest on June the 6th at the Cleveland Convention Center. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com to learn more about Fan Fest and to purchase tickets. Don't miss the fun during the Cleveland Browns Fan Fest this Saturday, June 6th at the Cleveland Convention Center. Two gentlemen will also be at Fan Fest this Saturday as part of the broadcast roundtable. Joining us now, the voice of the Cleveland Browns, Jim Donovan, and the analyst of the Cleveland Browns on the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, Doug Deacon. Gentlemen, good to be with you again.
Yeah, good to be out here. Good day today.
It was a good day. Yeah. Much nicer than yesterday. It was a little cold at practice yesterday.
Oh, all right.
Well,
yeah.
Try Sunday.
Or Sunday, yes, indeed. So you guys were out there today. What were your impressions thus far? I know it's early, five OTAs in the books, your impressions, just overall what you've seen out there.
Well, when I look at a guy like Josh McCown, I compare it to he just has the visual look of somebody close to God said, this guy, we're going to create this guy, and he's going to look like a quarterback.
Yes.
And he definitely does. I mean, his size, you know, his arm, just the way he kind of carries himself, he looks like a quarterback. Now, people used to always say that about Vinny Testaverde, that when you walked out to a practice and you took a look at Vinny Testaverde out on the practice field, you would say, not somebody close to God, but God himself created a guy like Vinny Testaverde. He attached that arm to that body and put all the parameters around it.
Phenomenal hair.
And he created this good-looking guy, and he created this quarterback. Then it's up to the quarterback to take the next step when the bullets become real and they're coming at you on Sunday afternoons. To me, McCown is a guy that I immediately root for. And I hope that he achieves what he did at that period of time, that capsule of time in Chicago when he played really, really well. Then we'll all be very, very happy around here because I think that there's enough around that that you can be pretty darn good. And I think with the defense, I think you can be really good and you could see a blueprint to win.
Yeah.
Now the question is, can he do it when it's real?
That's what we will find out, yes.
Well, I also think
Other than that, I thought it was an okay day.
Well, I think, you know, a lot of times you see a Peyton Manning and you see a Tom Brady and they make their offensive lines look good because how fast they get rid of the football. I think we have a case where we have a pretty good offensive line that hopefully can help make this quarterback look good because of the time that he'll get opposed to maybe what he got in Chicago or in Tampa because he was under fire. And sometimes when you're under fire, you don't always throw the ball where you want to get it to go. So I think it's a nice, you know, blend to have the two of them together.
You know, the other thing, too, that it was really interesting watching Irving play left tackle today and plays everywhere. And then you say to yourself, you know, the position that the Browns were in, leaving camp and going to the opening game last year to Pittsburgh and the state of the offensive line, not the first offensive line, but if anything happened to the first offensive line. And now you see the thinking of, hey, we got to go get a guy that can do something, but even better, he can do a lot of things. And you saw that today.
You definitely did, and that was something that we've pointed out all week. It's like magical position. You know, where is he going to show up? But just how about highlight a guy both offensive and defensively today that stood out to you? Who on offense? Who on defense for both you guys?
On offense, I would say I was really excited to see Duke Johnson.
Yep.
I was a really big fan of his for some reason. Watching him at Miami. I mean, I would watch him at times, Matt, and he was the entire game plan. You know, he would take them down the field.
Yep.
I mean, you know, they would run, they would throw to him out in the flat, and the more he did, the better he got in the game. So it was fun watching him, and I think the coach enjoyed watching him because he saw him burst a couple of times, and he gives them something that either they didn't do it last year, or we didn't have guys that could do it, that back out in the flat and giving them the ball.
I think he gives them something they haven't had in a while.
Yeah, I guess.
That X factor, that changeup guy, somebody they can rely on.
Well, I mean, we were all wondering last year, was that just not in the offense, or did we not have backs that could pull it off?
I think they can catch the ball. It just wasn't a part of that offense last year.
Well, there you go. Yeah, but I think it should be this year.
Yes,
and it looks like it will be.
And last year's offense looked like it was more big chunk plays. I mean, they would try to get you to come up in a run, and then they try to go down the field deep. But, yeah, the Duke Johnson kid, you know, listening to him, he was humble, yet he was confident. And I think, you know, sometimes you get kids come in and they're a little immature and they think, well, I just got drafted in the pros. I've made it. I don't see that from them. I mean, they're challenging him about the greatest runner at Miami.
Because and statistically, he is.
He is. But, he deferred to the other backs. And I think, that's a nice thing. You know, we've seen some kids come in here with a, pretty big head, and all it takes is a few bad games, and they get deflated pretty quick.
You know, and then on defense, there were a couple of times where Justin Gilbert made some plays. Yeah. Now, that was the Justin Gilbert that I saw when he was healthy in training camp, and then when he played in the Monday night preseason game in Washington, when he played really well. That was his first game. He didn't play in the Detroit game. And then it was the next game when they played the Rams here that he really kind of struggled. And it seemed at that point, he struggled physically and he struggled, I think, mentally, and I think might have lost a tad bit of confidence. But today I saw the guy that I saw flash in that Redskins preseason game that you said, wow, he's got a different gear.
There were people, I remember after that game, somebody posed a question to me, was he the best cornerback on our team after that preseason game? And I said, we have a long way to go. But he looked, you can see that it is in there. Deke, when you look at Cam Irving, we've seen him at left tackle, we've seen him at right guard, we've seen him at right tackle. What stands out to you about him and how he is going to help this team?
Well, I think, the fact that he can take and play all those positions, that's not an easy thing. I mean, so many guys get their brains fried when they come out and they're trying to execute what they just learned. And they're, loading up, a lot of parts of the offense now. And, for him to, make the calls and then go out and play left tackle on the island, it shows, a lot of versatility, but it also shows a lot of smarts. And I think that's, pretty impressive. And just like Duke Johnson, he's not a cocky kid. He's just a confident kid that wants to play football. You try to pin him down on what position he's going to play, and he said, I'm just an offensive lineman.
Right. The other thing that was interesting on the day he was drafted, on the night he was drafted, was that when everybody started on those national shows, ESPN and the NFL Network, and I'm not sure which one it was, when they detailed, what he had done and what his future would be, one of those guys on one of those networks said, now, I don't know what he's going to be early on, but at some point he's going to be an all-pro center in the league for a long time. And that's very interesting, that they would think that way of him and obviously feel that down the road that might be his position.
Well, and when he wasn't in there, he was going over to the fountain of knowledge, Joe Thomas, and,
yes, he was. I saw that too.
Those are the things, some guys, we talked about it, it's how you come in, the attitude you come in with. Everybody at this level is good, and the only thing you can do is outwork them, and I think, he has that attitude.
I know Nate Orchard has impressed. We talked about Cam Irving, Duke Johnson, when the ball's in his hands, or even when he's not, he's just a dynamic player. But who of the free agents that we've signed this offseason you think they can that has been most impressive and can make the biggest impact?
Well, I don't know if this kid's going to make an impact, but I did mention to him four or five times, as I have a tendency to do when I lock onto something. But the kid Lundy, with the hair and the number 42.
He's going to be a training camp sensation.
That's what I just said to Deke. I said, Deke, at Doug's most favorite time of the year, the fourth quarter of the last preseason game, Doug, I said, this guy is going to be flying around the field, kind of the way Crowell did in the last preseason game.
Or Solomon in Baltimore at the end of the season last year.
And I said, we're going to be talking about this guy, and we're going to be saying, all right, here's the last cut. How do you get rid of a guy like this? Because he's just going to jack somebody up.
Oh, yeah.
Or he's going to make a great play. He's going to bounce off five guys and get 21 yards.
He's going to be a cult favorite.
And I always miss it because I'm sticking needles in my eye.
yeah.
At that point, you're just enjoying what you're doing. Here having a roundtable, Jim Donovan and Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network. So one of the questions I got asked on Twitter for you guys, what do you think of comparing Josh McCown, his skill set, what you've seen to what you had last year in Brian Hoyer?
That's interesting. Well, number one, I think I'm going to give Brian a lot of credit for something that maybe got lost a little bit in how the year went, but when I heard Ray Farmer talk about Travis Benjamin and how he expects him to have a big year this year because it's the second year after an ACL, I give Hoyer a lot of credit. Yeah. Hoyer had a really nasty injury in that Buffalo game that year.
Sure.
And he did come back, and he did hang in there, and he did play well, for a pretty good portion
good
of time. Yeah, pretty good stretch. The thing about McCown just looks – there's some more – There's more natural gifts, I think. I mean, he's got a great arm, I think.
Yep.
I think he's got a great arm. You know, and he's you know, he just seems to be a little bit more comfortable with what his role is. I think Brian had that puncher's mentality that that a lot of guys have when you're when you go, you know, when you're kind of undrafted, you have to fight your way through the league. You're always playing with that chip on your shoulder that you, you know, you don't want to give up anything. I think McCown's a little bit more comfortable in where he's at and what he's all about. Yeah. That's what
I think he comes in with a varsity letter where Brian was trying to earn it.
Sure.
He was
trying to get on the point.
JV. Yeah. But I think the other part of it is, you know, for Brian Hoyer, you know, being in your hometown, having Johnny Manziel, all the publicity, you know, how many times do you see the backup quarterback have a press conference on Wednesdays?
Yeah.
I mean, it was kind of a three-ring circus. And in that regard, I don't know if he really got the total fair shot. The offense probably fit him a little bit better. But then when, you know, we had the Josh Gordon coming back and you're trying to force the ball to make him the playmaker that he'd been the year before, that didn't work out. You know, so there's some things that were stacked, you know, against Brian, but by the same token, you know, he was a gamer. I mean, he came out and he played hard. He took some shots, and, you know, there's times he probably should have gone out, but I think he knew if he did go out, he might not get back
Absolutely,
in.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, you know, with that said, now, you know, with McCown, you've got somebody that's been around the block, and, you know, he's one of those guys that I think, you know, with Brian, if Manziel had beat him out, he wasn't going to help Manziel. Now, if Manziel beats out McCown, I think McCown would sit there and, you know, really love to, you know, help a young quarterback because that's the kind of guy he is.
I think he did that last year.
And that's not to say that, you know, Brian is wrong, but that's just the competitive way that he was.
Playing for a contract as well.
Yeah, sure. He was fighting for a contract, right. Yes.
Yeah. Guys, Peter King came out with his power rankings yesterday. He has the Baltimore Ravens number one on his list and the Cleveland Browns all the way down at 27. I just want your overall perspective on seeing Baltimore, you know, a team that's lost some pieces, be number one, and then the Cleveland Browns all the way down at 27 after what we think is a great draft and some solid signings via free agency.
Boy, yeah, I'm surprised at the Ravens. I really am. I mean, I thought the Ravens, I thought the Browns, you know, should have beaten them twice.
Yeah.
Didn't beat them at all, but definitely, you know, they had them in that last game. I mean, you
with
know.
Connor
they,
Shaw
with
on the
Connor
road.
Connor Shaw and Terrence West and these kind of players, you know. The thing about Joe Flacco is that there are portions of his play that are so quiet and kind of, you know, he's almost in a fog. But then he'll burst out. I mean, it's like the two games against the Browns. The Browns had him defended well, played well, made him make a couple of bad throws, and you think you have him beat, and then bang, he hits a play.
It was like boom, boom, Torrey Smith, and also it was a touchdown.
Bang, and it's all a two. It was a two-play
two
drive. Wasn't
yeah.
it a two-play
yeah.
drive? And suddenly you're losing, and he walks out a winner. But I don't know about the completeness of the Ravens. Yeah, I'm surprised at that. The 27, you know, I guess until we start winning games. You know,
you got to prove yourself. Yeah,
you got to prove yourself to go up a little bit.
No more nada. I mean, you know, he was like a Pac-Man machine against us. I mean, every time a running back went by, he'd be clobbering him. And I think, you know, Ozzie's done a great job there. You got to give him credit. But, you know, Flacco, is he one of the elite quarterbacks? I'm not 100% sure. And I'm not sure if their offensive line is quite as good as, you know, they would like it to be.
Right.
I think that's a fair point. We'll see how they stack up. Tony Grossi had Pittsburgh at number one, or number two, I think, on his ranking. So a lot of love for the teams in this division.
This is a new thing, incidentally.
Yes,
Tony.
He did.
Yeah, he's not into the power rankings.
First time ever. He's coerced.
So, absolutely. Yeah. It's almost like going from a different style of house. A colonial to a Cape Cod. It's going to take time for him.
It's going to take time to adjust there. As always on a roundtable, you got to talk Johnny. So briefly, we will. The incident, as Mike Pettine said, a non-incident. We don't need to talk about that. But just what does he look any different to you? Do you guys see anything in practice? What are your takes on Johnny's performance?
Go ahead.
What'd Johnny do?
As Deke pelts Jim Donovan with a water bottle here in our studio.
Nathan, I tell you what, when I look out there, it's a tough thing to kind of decipher right now because, as Mike Pettine pointed out two or three times during his press conference today, it's touch football. And so I don't know. I'm not in the meetings rooms. I don't know when he's showing up and what time he's leaving. That seems to be a story when people say, hey, he was here very, very late. You know?
Yep.
So I don't know. I think it's going to come down to, you know, when we see teams line up against them and how he plays then. The thing that he's going to have to move beyond is, you know, are the five quarters that we, you know, watched him play last year, which were not cohesive.
I think also the DeFilippo offense will fit him and his skill set
much
better than what we had last year, where, you know, was you had the running game going and you just chunked it down the field. I just think this is, you know, with the West Coast version of it, the ball will come out quicker and you'll be moving them around a little bit more, although they did try to move them around last year. But I just think it's probably going to be a better fit in that regard.
Yes, gentlemen, thank you so much.
Good to talk to you.
Good to be with you. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys. For Matt Wilhelm, I'm Nathan Zagura saying thanks for listening to another edition of Cleveland Browns Daily.
Driven by Liberty Ford.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.